crackers to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs.
Hello and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 119 for October 25th, 2005. I'm Strom Carlson.
And I'm Black Ratchet, who is muted for some reason because I forgot to unmute myself.
Yeah, and today
The problem with Cisco's is that you always get side-toned no matter if you're muted or not.
Yeah, unfortunately. That's why the light's red, so you can look at it and see, oh, mute.
Yeah, but I'm looking at my computer. There's other things I need to do, damn it. So you can go ahead. It's a historical episode because you set it all up. This is all you.
Yeah, this is a historic episode because we are streaming live right now. This is not a recording. We're streaming live. You're hearing us on about a 25-second delay, I think, last time I checked. And we're nervous as hell for some bizarre reason. We don't know if this is going to screw up.
We're pretty sure that it may screw up at one point, but we at least got out there and we're providing content right now.
Yes.
So, well, I guess that's worth something. But, of course, you also get to hear all the times that we screw up during the show, that we edit out in the post-production process.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I just had to dial back in because my phone blanked out. So I actually just popped in right before Strom started talking, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank God. Anyway,
that was kind of annoying.
If you're listening to us on the podcast and you didn't realize it was live this week, shame on you. Tune in live next week because not only are we live, we are taking calls. We are actually going to be taking your phone calls, questions, whatnot. And should we give the number out now? Ratchet?
Yeah, see, I think my phone's acting up.
Oh, dear. Yeah, now Ratchet's on his 2500 set.
No, and see, now my other phone's fine. See, this is the glory of live radio right here. See, this phone was acting fine for the past hour and a half, yet right now, bam, just faded out twice within like 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, we were doing a test run, and the my second Cisco phone just felt like totally crashed and rebooted itself on me. So I was madly getting everything back together again.
Yes,
but I am amazed that this is working. That we are streaming live.
Yeah, well, let's just hope it keeps working this way.
Yeah,
because I'll feel quite lucky. So we are raising the bar for BinRev Radio.
Hell, we've gone beyond raising the bar. We take the bar and we stick it in your eye.
Okay. Ben, what's our new slogan? BinRev Radio better than a pointy stick in the eye?
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So we'll just sort of get this out of the way. What's our call in line? This episode is going to be all user driven, hopefully.
Yeah.
And we're going to have call in, ask your questions, or just send shouts out or whatever.
Yeah, so...
Because right now we don't have a guest, because we were sort of questioning whether or not... I was questioning. Strom was always confident, but I was the worrywart about whether or not this would actually get done. So we don't have a guest tonight, so you guys are going to be the co-hosts. There's going to be all, like, a bunch of co-hosts calling in at random times.
Mm-hmm. This is so weird to see people talking about... what we're saying as we're saying it in the IRC channel. Anyway, if you guys want to call in, the phone number is toll-free, 800-732-0442. I repeat, 800-732-0442. And you can call that, and you'll hear the hold music. You'll sit in the queue, and we'll take your call in the order it was received. If for some reason the toll-free number doesn't work for you, or if you're listening from outside the U.S. and you can't dial our 800 numbers here, you can call the regular line at area code 213-415-1047. Repeat again, 213-415-1047, and we'll take your call there. They both go to the same queue, so calling one has no advantage over calling the other number. So call the toll-free number first if you can.
Okay, yeah, and plus it's free to you, so whatever. I mean, we really don't care if you want to pay for long distance. Also, we're both in irc.dal.net/binrev, so you guys can pop over there and message us and ask questions or whatever. Basically, anything goes tonight with interesting. We will dump you if you get obscene on the air or anything, but other than that, I mean, go right ahead. And since we don't have a guest tonight, I hooked up I've been busily programming this. We now have the Stank Dog Simulator 3000.
I thought it was
Hello,
the Stank 9000.
Hello, all you galleons out there. This is Stank Dog.
So this is what you can enjoy while we're doing this.
Yeah, during our testing, Ratchet kept playing that thing, and I wondered how long it'll be before people scream at us that the Stank recordings are too annoying.
Well, who cares, because I haven't, and it's cool.
Take the dick out of your mouth. Maybe that'll help.
Okay, do we have any other housekeeping things tonight?
I'm not sure. I mean, do you think we're going to screw up? That's the question.
Will we screw up? Will we make mistakes? Will Strom accidentally and irrevocably reveal his homosexuality to the masses?
I think I've revealed that 100 times already on the forum, so I don't think I need to worry about that.
Yeah. We're just flying by the seat of our pants tonight, so sit back and enjoy.
Fly by the seat of your pants? Bullshit.
You think it's time for email?
I think it's time for email.
Okay, let me grab my handy-dandy email theme here.
All right. Well, we have email tonight. Do you want to read the first email, or shall I?
I'll read the first email. Dear BinRev Radio, you have a very nice show. I like the format and hope you continue the good work. Strom is great, Black Ratchet is cool, and Dr. Zed should be a permaguest. Just finished listening to your tour show. I'm not an expert in anything, but still some bearded rainbows to discuss. See SW Lab R for details. Okay. I run a tour node, and it makes me feel good, so I guess it makes me an expert in giving away bandwidth. I'm addicted to finding ways to obfuscate identity. Of course, we all know nothing is truly anonymous, but you knew that already. So here are some comments on the show. 1. Removed. Okay. 2. At DEF CON 13, the EFF was giving away tour shirts to those running tour nodes. That was cool. Number 3, please mention to contribute to tor.eff.org. 4, you're right. Tor will eat up all of your available bandwidth up to and including a T3. Ouch. Number 5, you mentioned one Tor client, but it's worth mentioning a very cool application proxy that has an integrated Tor client, in Java, no less. Java Anonymous Proxy. It can be found at tinyurl.com/33b6r.
33 Bravo 6 Romeo.
I'll leave all the tiny URL reading to you. So
yeah, that would make the most sense.
It uses Mixmaster-like technology to anonymize web connections. The actual anonymity, or the JAP client, is questionable, but the Tor client has a very nice interface. Signed, CW.
Well, thanks, CW. As always, shouts to Dr. Zygmunt. I think that at least I feel he's hit two home runs each for each show he's been on. I was checking out that JAP. I constantly am referring to it as JAP, so I'm not sure what the official name is. It's pretty cool, and I think it's a very cool use of the Tor network, and I really think it's perfect for people who have to use like public PCs and they can't install software on there, say, school, internet cafes, work, Etsy. And it's just cool.
yeah, I've yet to play with this stuff. So,
well, JP's neat. I was fiddling around with my Tor client, so it was cool, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's just it's not perfect, but I much prefer Provoxy. But at the same time, you can't install Provoxy wherever you are all the time. Like, you know, for example, if you're on a public internet cafe, mm-hmm. sometimes, of course, you can't do your proxy settings over there, so you're host anyway regardless.
Exactly.
So, I'll do the next email.
First off, I'm curious why number one was removed. I mean, if you're writing the email and you're editing it,
right? That's a good point.
if you're editing the email, you know, you can delete and renumber.
Owned, baby!
Yeah, it was strange, and I just think he was being deep, dark, and mysterious there. And he ended up just looking weird when I initially read the email, but, you know, we'll just leave it as it is, whatever.
Yeah. No one
Next email is from Booter. Hey, Strom and Black Ratchet. I was listening to episode 117 when you mentioned that you submitted BinRev Radio to Yahoo's new audio search. I did a search for the show at podcast.yahoo.com, and there were a few results. You can come check them out at the link below. tinyurl.com/BD8GH Bravo Delta 8 Golf Hotel Booter. And that URL that you gave us, that searches for BinRev Radio, which is what we call ourselves, but our official name is Binary Revolution Radio. And if you go on Yahoo's podcast directory, we are there. Just do a search for Binary Revolution Radio. And we'll be there for everyone to see, and we'll be happy and good. And I was actually kind of impressed at Yahoo. They're doing a pretty nice job with this stuff. I think the interface is pretty nice. It's clean. It's very intuitive, for the most part. And they also have, like, you know, built-in RSS lists where you can subscribe to certain things and get a nice podcast for all your favorite podcasts. And I was pleased to see that three users have rated us, and we have a 4.5 out of 5 stars. However, we don't have any people who are reviewing us yet. So I have a request. All of our listeners, I'd like to see you all rate the hell out of us. Good, I hope. But if you think we suck, what are you going to do? I'd like to ask you to subscribe. I'm not sure what exactly that entails. That might involve having a Yahoo account. And I'd also like to see a few people write reviews. I feel kind of, I don't know what you would say. I don't know, I just feel kind of odd writing a review for myself and just trying to talk myself up. Because really, that's not a review, that's someone promoting themselves.
Oh, that's strong.
So
that's
I'd like
wonderful.
To see users out there, you know, have a homework assignment, we'll give you shouts on the show if you do it. Write a review for Binary Revolution Radio on the Yahoo podcast and subscribe and, you know, do whatever you want. Stank always promoted the hell out of the show. And I tried to do my part. I went out there, and as soon as I found out about this, I submitted BinRev Radio. And now it's your turn. I really want to boot This Week in Tech off the number one spot, and that's probably not going to happen. But at the same time, you never know. It's good to have dreams, I guess. And yes, I do have delusions of grandeur. Why do you ask?
All right. So I'll read the next email.
Yeah, sure, go right ahead.
Okay. Hey, guys, great job on covering a wide variety of topics, and thanks for recommending the white supremacist web host. I think I'm going to sign up, open an interracial gay porn site on their server, reveal to them I'm from Japan, and send them a picture of me kissing my white girlfriend or something. Anyways, a few things to E-Man, or whatever his name is, about his FreeBSD comments. That would be Dr. Zygmunt. Number one.
No, I don't think that was him. That was an email that we got last week.
Oh, okay. Never mind then. Number one, there is a KDE/FreeBSD website at freebsd.kde.org. Number two, Gentoo's Portage has a much greater portion of their software as broken at any given time. No comment on Debian's packet system. I think it's okay, besides the fact that you have three different branches to deal with, and that is glacially out of date most of the time. Number three, you don't complain when you CVS your source to the bleeding-edge untested branch of the source and you can't get KDE working. Number four, you can search at freshports.org or freebsd.org/ports. Not that hard. Keep up the good work. BinRev and TLLTS are the only good shows out there. How do you pronounce this? Tato Setsa.
Yeah, I think it might be a sort of a Japanese pronunciation, and you nailed it as the way I would. And Tato, anytime? I was curious if anyone's actually bothered our fine, bigoted web hosting friends down in the south there. Sank, what do you think of them?
Give me a fucking break.
I would find it humorous if someone did kind of do something like that, but I'm not condoning it. You know, BinRev Radio doesn't condone harassment or hacking or annoying people despite their alternate viewpoints that might not agree with ours. Blah, 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 blah. At the same time, we'd probably find it quite humorous. And I like to say to Tato that Debian's package system, there's three branches. There's testing, unstable, and stable. Stable is glacial, but at the same point, that's what it's there for. It's there for running a server, and it doesn't change. They try to keep all the versions the same, and they try to... What do they try to do? They just try to keep all the versions the same, just backport security fixes over to the programs that they use, and it's designed for running a server where if you're running a program that can't be tested with the new software that's always coming out and it might break something, just run Debian stable. It won't change and it won't break. So that's what that is. As for Gentoo, I've never used it. I know a lot of people do, but at the same point, whatever, you know.
Yeah, running a Debian server, it's actually kind of nice to be able to have the option of a stable.
So, let's see.
Oh my gosh, somebody just called in. So, we'll get to them after this last... Should we get to them now, or should we...
Let's get to them now. We'll have our first... let's go to the email first.
Okay, we'll do our first email, and then we will we'll take our call.
Yeah, so callers are on hold.
Yeah.
You want to read this?
Yeah, I'll read this, and then you can answer it while I screen the caller. Hey, Black Ratchet and Strom, I have a few questions about programming projects. I have a project that I've been working on in .NET that is getting close to release, but I want to do this project as professionally as I can do it, without the dollars, of course. Sticking tongue out, smiley. Where are good places to go to get an end-user license agreement, a software licenses, free application, closed source, and how to figure out the system requirements for the application I'm releasing? Might be a good subject for an episode that would appreciate the help. And, of course, your friend, Termite.
Okay, go screen our first caller.
All right.
We're actually screening people? I just thought we were going to bring them into the conference and dump them if they were annoying.
I figure I should at least get their handle and ask what their question is.
Wow, we're actually, you know, kind of professional here. We're not flying by the seat of our pants.
I'll be right back.
Fly by the seat of your pants.
So, anyway, well, Termite, I'd just like to say, why aren't you releasing the source? I mean, it's well within your rights not to do it. But at the same time, hey, consider opening your code. I mean, what's the big problem with not doing that? If you have problems with the GPL, it's not the only open source license out there. BSD, I think Apache has a good one. There's tons of open source licenses out there, and a lot of them are approved by the, I forget what they call themselves, the Open Source Software Consortium. Either way, I looked, and I really couldn't find a quote-unquote standard EULA. I guess that's how you pronounce it. End user license agreement. I guess they're sort of worked on by tons of lawyers for a lot of money for a reason. And that's why you do it, so you can hire massive amounts of lawyers, spend money on them, and have a foolproof software. But if you do release an end user license agreement and you want to close your code up, that's no problem. Go right ahead. That's well within your right, like I said. And just make your EULA, I'm going to call it anyway. Make it fun. CodeWeavers, if you ever installed their crossover plugin, if you look at their end user license agreement, they have right at the beginning, end user license agreement, you know, major, read this, please. And they always say, please read this. And they put in parentheses, like just some type of a strange thing. Like I believe one of the versions said, especially about the free car washes for life in Section 7. And I believe another version said, especially the clause about giving up your firstborn son in Section 8. And if you scroll down to Section 7 or Section 8, they usually said, just making sure you're reading. And I found that humorous. So do we have a caller?
We did. The person didn't say anything, but I could hear the stream going in the background. Let me try again to grab them.
Also, people, if when you do call in, this does work like the radio. Have it so that your stream is off in the background, so you're not echoing 25 per second beforehand, and that could be really, really annoying.
Yeah. So let me see who this person is. Let's give this another shot.
Do, 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 do. Actually, Stank, why don't you sing for us?
We are a part of the Rhythm Nation.
Just so you know, I'd like to send shouts out to... I have to go look back in the email, because someone actually sent this in. Actually, his name's Jeremy. He looks like it's a real thing, but thank you, Jeremy, for sending this in. You guys rock. We're going to have... I was having immense fun with this earlier. Like, it was thoroughly annoying... Strom. It was amazing. And I also like to thank David, because I actually he sent some stuff in early August. Oh, he actually gave a handle, but I won't associate his handle with his name, so who cares?
Yeah, what was I gonna say? Whoever's calling in, yeah, the caller who, you know, I'm talking to you on the phone. If I ask you to please talk, it would be helpful if you said something. You know?
They're always worried.
Yeah. So let's call back again. But when I say Binner of Radio, I'm answering the phone, and I would appreciate it if you talk back.
Maybe he's a mime. Have we thought about that? Maybe our call-in line is not I forget what it is. ADA compliant. That's it.
Mimes calling Binner of Radio. Interesting.
Do 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 do. It could happen. And I actually think I'm going to go switch over from my Cisco phone, because it's fading out far too much. And this is the glory of live radio. I actually had my other phone hooked up into it, and I was actually listening on one and talking on another, because this has a nice little annoying carbon mic on it. So I'm going to be brought by Western Electric goodness.
Oh, boy, this should be good.
Yeah. So we're going to sound extra crappy here. I'm going to sound like the email theme. I'm very sad that no one is calling in.
Yeah. Well, hang on. They claimed that that they couldn't hear me. So let me do some quick tests. And why don't you? I guess we can talk about our specific.
I'll go into my personal
hacking story. Okay. Yeah.
So I really didn't do much this week. I got a new computer case, and I'm going to set up. It's a nice InWin 450, and that if you've ever seen these cases, in my opinion, they're like little tiny gods. They're absolutely glorious, and so just they're tall, they're huge. You can fit tons of stuff into them, and I already have one, and I'm really just tempted to admit. I'm really happy now that I have two of them, so I can just sort of set them up and get them going there. I picked up a nice little object. It's called a Whistle Interjet, and it's very interesting. It's a small box. It's about, it's the ENIAC of computers. It's about 6 inches by 8 inches, 6 inches wide, inches tall, and about a foot long. And it has a 46DX4 processor on there. I think it runs at about 100 megahertz. It's Cyrix, so it runs rather toasty, but we won't get into that. And it has a hard drive and a 3 ISA slots on there. So it was designed to run a FreeBSD variant on there. And what it does now is, what you can do with it is that it's a full x86 PC. It has RAM, the whole shebang, and 3 slots. So you can just sort of toss anything in there. It was originally designed for sharing internet, and I think that's what I'm going to make it used for. You can just sort of pop it out there, and I'm desperately trying to get it to working with a software called IPCOP, and what IPCOP is just sort of a embedded router solution. And I'm just tossing on there and fooling around with it. Problem is that it has no monitor, and it has no keyboard, and I have to do everything via serial port, and I haven't actually gotten that working yet. So that's annoying. Strom, do we have somebody yet?
We have got a caller.
Yay!
We have Ionix, and let me bring him in right now, just a sec.
Let's see if that works. What rate we're going.
Hello, Ionix.
Hello, Ben Rep Radio.
This is a cause for celebration.
Woo!
Our first live call-in caller.
We're amazing.
Oh, my Lord. That is absolutely amazing. I wanted to offer you guys a congratulations on going with a live format. I do realize how difficult it can be. I've been a part of Hacker Voice Radio over in the UK for a couple of months now, and we do a Monday through Friday daily show, which goes out live. And there have been few shows that haven't been plagued by a couple of problems. So I want to give you guys a congratulations. It seems to be going very smoothly.
Oh, God, now that you said that, we're completely hosed.
Yeah, we're jinxed.
Well, our host happens to be a fan of Skype, so that tends to be the major major issue we're dealing with, that and hooking in like four voice over IP services at the same time.
Yeah, I think you should standardize on just asterisk or something.
Oh, we trust me, we'd like to.
Yeah, I don't know why my Cisco phone isn't working. I'm very displeased by that because I sound just immensely better over there.
Hmm.
Not that, you know, 8,000 bit EULA is really good, but at the same time, I'm sure carbon mic doesn't help.
Oh, Lordy. The second thing I wanted to ask you, or the first thing I wanted to ask you about, was web encryption over Wi-Fi. I was wondering if you knew if Wi-Fi routers had been implementing a web standard that doesn't broadcast weak IV frames.
I'm not 100% sure about that, but I believe certain things is. And also, web is kind of going away, well, at least in most part. It's still there, but everyone's sort of going rah, 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 WPA right now.
Ooh, see, I think that's a bad thing.
There's drawbacks to both approaches.
Oh, I agree entirely, yeah.
You're going to be damned if you do, damned if you don't. But at the same point, yeah. I'm not sure if anyone's actually addressed that issue. Perhaps someone in our listening audience can come and call in and give us an answer.
Yes, yes.
I can actually request that now because we're live.
We can.
Yes.
What's actually pretty amusing is I was at my college the other day at the library, and I was looking at the instructions to connect my laptop via Wi-Fi. And what's kind of funny, they tell you, you know, use no encryption or WEP or WPA, but they give everyone the same damn key. It's 01234567890, 01234567890. So it's like, if everyone has the same key, I think you've defeated the point.
Oh, boy. Well, the security is no longer obscure.
Yeah. No, you can tell my school has a crack squad of security engineers working the account system because...
If you don't mind me asking, what school might this be?
This would be Santa Monica College.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, the personal account system is kind of funny. They assign you a password based on... They assign you a password based on your student ID number, and it doesn't change for the entire semester. There is nowhere for you to change it. You cannot change it. It's stuck.
I can one-up you on that one because I had a password like that, and the password was related to my social security number at my college. I fought them tooth and nail. I was very familiar with the guy running the their new brand new online registration email system thing, and just it's stupid. It was really stupid, and I fought them because this is the same college that was also for the longest time your student ID, which was your social security number, was printed on your student ID card.
I can do one better actually on that.
Oh God, I don't even want to know now.
Encryption on Bank of America Platinum credit cards uses what the technicians call a crawling encryption key, which means when they were programming the encryption, they were instructed to do so, so that the encryption key for the transfer or for whatever it was is simply added plus one each time.
Ooh.
It simply adds one digit.
Ouch.
Each time. Yeah.
That's kind of silly.
And as much as the people that were programming it protested, the company insisted.
Now, I'm sure the people that that were in charge of the system, they were cool people there, thank God. But the head person who actually designed it didn't actually weren't smart, and it was annoying.
Well, it's just a matter of like thinking about it before you do it. Really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, they probably came from the same point of, oh, well, geez, for the longest time we used this as a social security number and the station ID. Why can't we just do this system?
Well, that's all well and good, unless, of course, you want to protect the social security number of the people that are paying you good money.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those odd things. The second question I wanted to ask was, if one had recorded a stream that has been encrypted via GSM, if the Astra server would be able to decrypt it.
Encrypted or encoded?
Encoded,
or
yeah.
Encoded, not encrypted.
If you, no, Asterisk can't do it, but if you fire that up into Ethereal, I believe that can do that.
Really?
I seem to recall a presentation at DEF CON 12 where somebody grabbed a stream of, I think it was a Netufone stream, and played it back.
Yeah, I believe the new version of Ethereal can do something similar to that, and there's also another program called Cain and Abel, C-A-I-N.
Oh, Cain and Abel, yeah, I'm familiar.
Yeah, and I believe that will... I'm not sure if you can actually preload stuff into it, but I believe I'm pretty sure it can do it live.
The FBI may have a place for you.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it severely. Okay, the fourth and final thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was that Hacker Voice Radio right now, the group in the UK that I'm involved with, has an application in for a live voice chat with the International Space Station.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, and I was wondering, we already have a ham radio relay station that is willing to relay the signal for us via telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually wondering if you guys might be interested in getting in on that little conversation.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've never actually talked to the space station. I've talked to the Mir space station back when I was working satellites with my amateur radio, and I think the International Space Station would be very interesting. Just sort of send us an email offline for that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, certainly will.
And, of course, if we can't do it live on the show, we can always do a pre-recorded and then just play the recording, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much our plan, too. It all depends on when the thing passes overhead of where we're, going to be broadcasting from.
I remember working satellites and downloading Keplerian elements from NASA and firing into my program, and then, because I was running a 386, wait 15 minutes while it crunched all the numbers, and then getting a nice little printout of all the overflights.
In the IRP channel right now, HBP71605 is saying, at his school, they use their birthdays as passwords, geez. And he says his science teacher's admin password is... Science!
Oh, man, that's great. I get a little, like, Tom Dolby going on here and going, like,
she blinded me with science!
That's almost as bad as having your password be password.
I was actually at a couple of weeks ago, I was watching, what's the movie, Clear and Present Danger.
And oh, I love
that movie. Yeah, it's a good movie. The book is much better. If anyone's ever actually liked the movie, read the book. It's just infinitely better. I was constantly chuckling at their computer system and how they're doing all the leet hacksawing with the passwords reversed, and this guy was running these special programs to brute force passwords. I was like,
To brute force the password of the Colombian drug lord.
Yeah, he's elite.
Like, birthday,
I want to be
birthday
like him.
Backwards. Birthday forward. Birthday of mother, son, and daughter.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Well, really, the funniest part is like that oftentimes works.
It does work. I gave him prompts for that, but at the same point, it was just kind of humorous watching this guy do it.
Iron Geek is reporting at the channel that NT2000XP can cache credentials in case it can't get to the network. Then you can brute force those hashes and get someone's social security number or password.
Oh yes, that's a major problem. I always disable that on my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a cache, for example, you're part of a domain system.
Okay.
And you log, you're plugged into the network, and you're logged into your domain. And then, if you log out and then take the laptop with you, you can then log in with your domain password, and it will quote unquote remember it. So it's cached somewhere on the system, and there are programs that will attack that. And that's always really handy, because that's actually come in handy for me a couple of times. Because this actually isn't just did you just say specifically laptops? Because for example, I had a server and my domain got blown away, and it was an official blow away. We were merged over to another domain.
It's system dependent.
It's exactly what it is. And so I had to. They needed a file off our old file server that was still configured for the old domain, and the IT department could not remember the domain for the admin password.
Ouch.
So Yeah, I showed up, I cracked my knuckles, and I just logged in under my user account and said, here you go. And they got scared.
And people started giving you funny looks.
Exactly. They're like, how'd you do that? I was like, skills. Skills of the yacht.
How'd you do that? Well, that's why I'm paid the big bucks. Or no, that's why I should be paid the big bucks.
And I'm just a lowly developer, so I can't do anything right.
Owned, baby!
Yeah, but you're saving their asses.
Exactly. Well, they don't like that.
I'm sure they don't, but I'm sure whoever, you know, needed that to get done took note. Or at least I hope it did. Either that or somebody else took credit for it.
What happened. Or they just made that note, tossed in the memory hole and didn't know that. Nothing personal, but Strong, do we have any other people in the queue?
No, nothing personal at all.
But I think we had someone on. Let me double check. Hold on.
Okay. Do we have any more questions for us?
Are you going to continue with the live format?
I think we're going to continue. It's not going to be an every week thing, but I think if this actually works out, you know, once or twice a month wouldn't be too bad about it. It's just the hard part with this is that it has to be scheduled exactly between 9:30 and 11. And, you know, with taping and pre-recording, you just, oh, we just, you know, an hour and a half at any point. But this was a bit of production. But I foresee this actually happening a little more often. Of course, considering that we never did it before, that would be any time more often.
Yeah, it looks like I can't pull the next caller until we hang up on this guy.
All right. Well, pleasure talking to you. Thank you for being our first caller.
Yes.
I completely forgot your handle, so I'm just...
Ionix. That's
Ionix, that's it. I knew it was something like Ion or something.
Ion. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Ionix, for calling in. Thank you for being our first caller, and goodbye. Any shouts-out?
Ionix, hello.
I think he left.
He might have.
Well, thank you for thank Ionix.
Yeah, thank you, Ionix. For those of you who are still listening and you still want to call in, again, the number to call is 800-732-0442. Or 213-415-1047.
Do we actually have anything fun to say with the name? Like, you know, could we get lucky on here saying, like, you know, 212-400-SLIG?
I don't think we can do that. Let me see if we've got anyone else.
Yeah, we're having dead air here, so I'm just going to chit-chat about something. Yeah, so Whistle Internet's a really nice little thing, and I think my other story is today is I went to a wedding thing with the fiancé. He had something, and it was in a very old building, and it was built around 1940s, and I was walking around in one of the back rooms, one of the hallways that is in the back, and I was looking around, and all of a sudden I see on the wall was a very old rotary phone. And I was thoroughly intrigued by this, and it was an old Stromberg Carlson, which is actually where Strom gets his name, just in case you didn't know. It's a telephone manufacturer. And sadly, they didn't work, and it looked like it was just sort of retired in place. And I thoroughly enjoyed just playing with it and dialing with it, and then my fiancé caught me and said, "What are you doing?" So, yes, dead air. Thank you, Strom, for saying that in the channel. At least I'm saying something. You're just sitting there doing nothing. So, it was quite amazing that these phones that were probably there since about, I would say, early 50s, late 40s, probably not even not late 40s, I'd say 50s would be a thing. It's just been sitting there since, and it's actually kind of very depressing to know that they've been just sitting there and doing nothing probably for about 20 years.
We've got another caller.
Sure.
Okay, this is Live and Dead. Let me bring him on in. Hold on.
All right.
Hello, Live and Dead.
Now?
Yeah, you're on.
You are.
Welcome to VinRev Radio. You are caller number 2.
Yeah. I just wanted to clear up the Gentoo's portage and everything. Their stable system and their unstable system is managed by a thing called masking, which basically just ignores the unstable packages, and you can select an option using accept keywords, I think, underscore keywords, and then you can select whatever processor type you have, whether it's AMD 64, PPC, or X86, or various other types, and you can actually install the unsupported or the unstable packages through there, or you can go ahead with the stable, which is usually the newest, or whatever they've added, because it's mostly kept up by the community. And basically, you just you can go with unstable packages if you want, or you can use the ones that are there and call them stable, which are normally the newest ones that are there in the system, in the tree.
Well, yeah, that's who it is. But what is the more of the what is more of the chances that something would be broken as in stable versus unstable? I mean, because it can happen anywhere. I mean, what kind of testing happens into it?
In my case, I haven't had many problems with the stable packages, except for my AMD64, which I've had a hard time getting the NVIDIA kernel module working on there. But I think that's more of my 64-bit and my bad motherboard than anything else. But as far as I've had problems with it, I mean, I haven't had much with the stable packages and even with the unstable ones. And certain things are masked because of certain reasons, like they're not all unstable. Some have known security flaws in them, such as vulnerabilities, and they'll mask those so you won't install something that's known to be vulnerable.
So wait, they actually have packages in the source tree with known vulnerabilities?
They have them, but they are made so you can't emerge them, which is, like, instead of apt-get install, you emerge. And they keep them in there so that you can install them if you want to, but you need to physically go in and allow yourself to install it. It won't let you do it until you change the config file or do it from the command line to let you install it.
Hmm. Well, that's kind of interesting. I don't use Gentoo. Debian is the way to go. Gentoo is for people who want to compile everything, and that's just silly.
They do have binaries in the Portage tree, though.
Oh, they do? I actually didn't know that. But anyway, why would anyone want to go anywhere else but Debian? Because people who run Debian are just uber cool, like myself.
Hey, that makes me uber cool. Oh, my God.
Debian or Ubuntu? That's where it's at. Yeah, I'm a bigot.
Wow, it looks like we have two people in the queue now. Oh, my God.
So, I guess that's it. Unless you have more questions about it.
I think a Gentoo episode might be upcoming, and we are looking for comments on Gentoo, and as much as GSC might not like to talk about it, Gentoo is here, and we use it, and lots of people use it, so we do talk about it every episode. He's ranting and raving in the IRC right now.
I think we need to mention iPods, and what was the other thing you said we need to mention to make it a complete episode? iPods and VoIP, there we go.
Yeah, dude, we're on VoIP.
Let's start with iPods. Yeah. I've had so many problems with mine.
All right, should we take the next call?
Yes.
All right, thank you, Living Dead, for calling in.
Thank you for being caller number two. If you called earlier, you could have been caller number one.
Yeah, I couldn't get in, though. It kept not working.
Welcome to the power of VoIP, because VoIP rocks and iPods rock.
Sweet. Okay. We'll talk to you later, Livendead. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling.
No problem.
Just bring the next person right into the conference, and we'll just see what it is.
Okay, just a second.
And we're just sort of killing here dead air. And see, this would be handy if we had a guest here, but like I said, we didn't know when exactly this was going to work or if it was going to work at all. So we're just sort of flying by the seat of our pants here. And there's still nothing going on. Look at that. Let's see what Stank says.
Rich people piss me off.
And we have Low-Tech Mystic here.
Low-Tech, how you doing?
How you doing, Low-Tech?
Hey. How you doing? Good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Cool.
What kind of fun and exciting things do you have for us this evening?
Not a whole lot. I went to Freaknik and had a good time.
Oh, how was Freaknik? I completely forgot that happened this weekend because I was busy with other things.
Well, due to lots of alcohol, I kind of forgot a lot, too. But it was a very good time. You guys should have come down. We missed you.
I'm only really allowed one convention per year. So, and plus, this was actually, I had something up this weekend, so I couldn't have come on anyway.
Yeah, Freaknik kind of crept up on me unexpectedly. Next year, I will make an attempt to go, though.
So you're thinking about going to DEF CON, Hope, and Freaknik?
Possibly.
Holy crap. That's fun having disposable income.
Well, no. See, the problem is, you know, I just figured it wasn't worth the effort and the expense at this point.
Tell us what happened at Freaknik.
Lots of good stuff. There were several good presentations. Jason Scott did the BBS drinking game. That was good fun. There was a dude that had the Tesla coil set up in his hotel room and was frying CDs. It was very fun.
A Tesla coil in your hotel room just sounds so dangerous. A Tesla coil indoors sounds dangerous. For those of you who've never seen a Tesla coil, just picture this giant sort of cone-shaped thing with giant sparks falling off the top, and they're huge.
Yeah, just kill every TV on the hotel floor.
Yeah, exactly, and it's a huge EM pulse. So what, pray tell, was the BBS drinking game?
They put in the hacker one, and mm-hmm. they had a fast track and a slow track. The fast track was to take a drink every time somebody said the word hacker, and I don't remember what the slow track was. But
drink every time someone said cracker.
Hacker.
No, the slow track, so you didn't know what that is.
Sorry.
Were you apparently, because you didn't remember what the slow track was, you were on the fast track.
Yes, that is correct.
And how long did you last? About, 20 minutes?
Not that. We're 2-3 minutes. It was very fast.
Holy crap. You're a lightweight, man.
Yes, I'm a very lightweight.
So, did you see any good presentations?
Very, very good presentations. I think one of the ones that stood out the most in my mind was the one on a croquet. It was, in my mind, it was like a cross between your desktop and a MMO. It was very weird. I don't know a lot about it, but
what exactly is an MMO?
Multiply massive online.
Oh,
games,
okay, okay.
Like EverQuest, World of Warcraft,
and an MMORPG.
Yeah. See, that's the thing I don't understand about hacker conventions. You go there and you play computer games. You can do that at home.
Well, at the same point, it was sort of like back when I was at college in freshman dorms and Quake 2 just came out. My friends and I would all play Quake 2 on the LAN, and then we'd all go into one person's room and just talk trash. Oh, man, you guys suck. I totally nailed you in that stuff.
Who just three-wayed in?
I don't know.
Oh, God. Okay.
Hello?
There we go, our bug. Hopefully we just got that out of the way.
That's weird. The server did that all on its own.
That was from... Fine now?
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, you're still here.
All right.
Yeah. That was Strom's hold music for anyone who cared.
That is music on hold by Evan Doorbell.
I was wondering what that was. I'm actually on now?
Yeah, you're still on.
This is Iron Geek.
Hey, hey there. Oh, here's what happened. Low-tech actually fell off. That's what happened. Low-tech must have hung up, and then the music on hold came on for a second, and then Iron Geek is here now. Okay.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. I'd forgotten that part of how the cues work.
Yeah, well, I don't play with cues. So, Iron Geek, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot at all. I just phoned in to sing the praises of Kane. Kane and Abel.
Yes.
One of the few reasons that the average Linux geek might want to have Windows on a spare partition. As far as free tools are concerned out there, most everything that you really want to use is for one of the Unix-like operating systems. Linux, FreeBSD, most of the good security packages, pen testing tools. But Kane in of itself is probably the best free tool out there for Windows as far as all the things it encompasses in one tool. Unfortunately, it's not open source, but they do provide it for free, and they keep updating with newer and newer functions as time goes by.
That did piss me off that it wasn't open source, but oh well, what you going to do? It is free as in beer, though, so I guess I can live
mm-hmm.
with that.
Well, my one distinct fear on that is they might do something along the lines of like what WinFingerprint's doing now and making the open source branch kind of go away, it seems, and make a closed source branch they're trying to make commercial. I don't know if that's their plan.
It drives me nuts, though, when people do that.
But
see, that personally drives me nuts when they take an open source program and move it over to closed source. But I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you.
That's okay. Your show. But Kane has. Have you used Kane much before?
I fiddle with it. I actually, now that I moved my new computer, I don't have it installed anymore, but I wrote myself a note when I brought it up saying, hey, that added to my list of programs you need to install.
Yeah, I've got a Windows box here. I should play with it.
Well, it does all sorts of odds and ends. For instance, it will, if you copy a Salmon system file off a Windows box, it'll do the same thing Salmon Side will and allow you to crack it. It may not be as fast as LostCrack, but it's free. Also, you can use it for ARP spoofing between two machines, connect packets. It will also apparently, I haven't really tested this out, it claims it will be able to ARP spoof between two machines using remote desktop protocol, like connecting to a terminal server or a Windows XP box running remote desktop. And transparently, well, what it does is it proxies a connection. It hands, it's all
man in the middle attack.
Yes, the man in the middle attack. Files everything through it, and apparently remote desktop protocol, unlike other protocols like SSL and Secure Shell, it doesn't actually verify that the person you're talking to is who you're talking to. So the person doesn't even get a warning message.
Windows. I love Windows.
And it has crackers for like all sorts of different hashes you can sniff with the network, not to mention recognizing all sorts of plain text protocols. It's got things for built in, reversible ciphers that are basic just obfuscation like ROT 13, or let's say whatever VNC uses for its storing of passwords in the registry or in that particular config file they put on Linux boxes. It has something for reversing that. I mean, it's just got so many different tools, and I add to it all the time. They even have like a voice over IP sniffer that will, depending on what codecs are used, parse out what's going across the line and make a WAV file for you to listen to.
Since you brought that up, do you know if they support EXIET IX protocol, which is International Exchange?
Honestly, I do not know.
Yeah, that was one of their things. They do support SIP, and they support a bunch of codecs for that, but as for the EX protocol, you can see there's a call going on, but it doesn't actually understand what the hell is actually happening.
Huh. Does Vomit work for it?
I believe right now. Unless, I could be wrong, this actually, the last time I checked was a few months ago, right before DEF CON, that EX right now, theoretically, is unsiffable by public known utilities, as far as I know. Of course, that could have changed, and I could have been wrong back then, too, but...
To tell you the truth, I'm not much of a phone guy. We were using some, in a test lab, I'm trying to think of the name of the vendor we use it at work. I was testing, I knew I could sniff those phones, but I'm honestly not sure what codec and particular protocol they use. There's some kind of Nortel phone, IP phone. But I'm honestly not sure what all voice over IP Kane is capable of doing at this point. I know there's a few protocols that they won't do because they're commercial codecs, and then since it's a free tool, they can't afford to license them and include them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It picks up SIP fine. When I was using my Cisco phone, it picked up. It told me what number I was dialing, and it actually kind of really freaked me out when I figured that out because... When I did it, I wasn't actually expecting it to, I wasn't actually paying attention to it, and then I saw, oh, this person dialed 311-555-2368, and I was like, ooh, yeah, that's the number I dialed, isn't it? I completely forgot it was running in the background, and I just owned myself.
Well, as long as it's just you seeing the information, sometimes I'll run a sniffer while I'm web surfing around just to see whether or not anything I'm doing is actually crossing the network and isn't encrypted.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised the number of people at FreakNIC that were using insecure protocols that you could easily pick up using other tools. I do have one complaint about Kane. They say that you can read a PCAP file. So let's say you walk from some place with your PDA, you have it loaded with Linux, you do a big lib PCAP dump so you can parse it later on. Well, I've never successfully gotten Kane to load one of those dumps and actually be able to pass out plain text passwords. However, the same dump, something like dsniff or etercap have no problems with.
Hmm. According to Tom on the IRC channel, Kane can also remove scratches from your iPod.
Hmm. Wow. Is there nothing it can do? Can't do?
Apparently.
If it'll do my dishes, that's the best.
I've apparently fallen off IRC. see, look at that. Just, I'm having horrible networking troubles tonight.
Oh, dear, yeah.
Cisco phone goes down, IRC goes down. IRC is actually blinking on all and off all day.
Yeah, well, it's Dalnet. It goes down more than the dime store hooker.
So, Canonable, that's what it is.
That's pretty much all I really called him to say, to sing the praises of Kane and the team that creates it.
All right. Well, do you have shouts-out? I think we tried to do this to the first person, and other than that, no one actually, we actually didn't do anything.
Yeah.
A shout to my buddies in Lux, Corey and Flying Penguin, and to everybody I met at Freaknik this year.
How was Freaknik, since I guess I...
Freaknik was good. It kind of turned into, at night, so a giant party.
The
lectures were pretty good. My understanding, the lectures aren't considered, like, they don't have as many tracks as a place like DEF CON does, but the nice thing about them is they provide all the videos for free online later on. Matter of fact, I think somewhere in the forums, I want to say FireZone posted a link to where they've already put up some of the videos from the talks. And also, it's only $20. And if you're like a hacker from the Midwest, the South, it's kind of expensive to go someplace like New York or for Hope or out to Las Vegas for DEF CON. So Freaknik kind of fills a niche.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. That's what I always figured it is. And I actually consider going down because it seems like it's just a very, I don't know what you would call it, just very low-intensity convention, either like Hope or DEF CON, but not this year and probably not next. Here's a question. Napster San actually asked, does Kane and Abel work on Wine?
Work on Wine. Wine. I did some playing with that once, and I couldn't get it to work, but then again, I'm no expert on configuring Rhine, so that doesn't mean someone else can't. And if someone can, please print out a tutorial for me, because in that case, I wouldn't even have to boot Windows for it.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. It'd actually be cool if they just ported it over to Linux. Of course, you really can't deal with some of the stuff that you can automatically do in Windows over on Linux.
Some things, but I mean, it uses WinPCAP for its sniffing, so I imagine programming for WinPCAP has to be somewhat similar for libpcap, but I've never actually done it, so I don't know for sure.
True. So, Strom says the queue is empty, so call on in.
Yes, again, the number, if you're just joining us, 800-732-0442, or if you're listening from outside the U.S., the number is area code 213-415-1047.
Country code 1.
Yes, country code 1. Check your directory for instructions on dialing the United States.
Good luck with the rest. Good luck with the rest of the show, guys.
Hey, thanks, man.
Talk to you
later.
Thank
you for coming in.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, no cool music, so that's always cool. So this actually is working out pretty well. We're going on an hour here, and I like to say that this sort of beats the pants off the hook. What do they do, like 15 minutes for phone calls?
I don't know.
And like half of them are from Rebel?
Hey, there's someone in the queue. Let's see who it is.
Owned, baby!
So, Stank, what have you been doing?
Just organizing, you know, timing and getting together for that naked Jell-O wrestling stuff that Black Ratchet and I were going to try to do. Oh, was that not for the air?
Yeah, I'm sort of having way too much fun with this, whatever it is. These bunch of sound clips that people have sent in.
We have another caller. Yeah, we do. It's someone named Dothman. Let me bring him into the call. Hold on just a second.
Do we do like some generic happy music while these things are happening?
All right. Hello, Dothman. Welcome to BinRev Radio.
Hi, it's great to be here. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just got back from Freaknik.
Oh, cool.
Boy, everyone went to Freaknik to see.
Oh, wow. You're not on the IRC channel, are you?
No, I'm not. Sorry.
Oh, cool. So it's someone actually who heard the number on the show and is calling us. This is awesome.
Yeah, I was real lucky that I even noticed that you were on live tonight. I'm usually so busy, I don't even have time to check out, you know, what time it's live, running live. So that was real great.
Well, I never used to listen to it live. I used to just, like, pop it on my iPod.
Hey,
pardon me, let me get this out there. The iPod will be updated probably by tomorrow, I hope. I just have to re-edit everything back in and work it out that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be slightly delayed.
Uh-huh.
So, sorry. Dossman, go right ahead.
Ratchet?
Yeah.
Just want to say I really enjoyed your twat.
Oh, thanks. Oh, baby.
For those that might not know, Droops has been doing this thing called Twat Radio, another podcast or radio program, whatever you want to call it. And anyone that wants to go in, that wants to do a little short little segment on that, is welcome to do that. So that was I really enjoyed your program, your little segment you did. I'm not really a programmer myself, but I enjoy what you talked about. So,
mm-hmm. I believe the URL is twatech.org, and it's a website.
Oh. Thanks. Yeah, I didn't even think to say that.
Yeah, it's a fun show. It's daily content, so it's cool. And what they just do is they just sort of mix up the host up every day, and everyone does their own segue topic. And I last Wednesday, I think it was, I did something on the glory of C#. And I actually have another link to give out. I'll just sort of do it tonight. I just have to find it as a follow-up to that. But anyway, yes, Droops is doing a good job with it, and actually hasn't been updated, I believe, in the past couple of days, because Droops has been at Feeknik, just apparently like everyone else on the planet except me.
Yeah.
Well, no, I didn't go either, so everyone else on the planet except for the two of us.
Yes.
So, first time I'd ever been to Freaknik, so it was a very enjoyable time.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Freaknik and DEF CON?
Ah.
Have you been to both?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay, I was going to ask you how the two compared.
Yeah, in fact, actually, this is only the second con I've been to. I went to Nauticon this year. Up in Cleveland, so they were pretty different events, but both extremely enjoyable, and really just enjoyed meeting all the different people I've seen online and stuff. So I'm kind of new to the con experience. Getting to meet people, you know, just as handles and stuff, I think that's probably, for a lot of people, it's the biggest thing, you know. That's Iron Geek, and that's Dr. Zigman, and mm-hmm. all that good stuff. So.
Yeah, the thing I always find amusing about Con is the fact that you are referring to real flesh and blood people by their handles in person.
Yeah.
It's just so weird, you know. I mean, I guess you get used to it at the 2600 meetings, but, you know, you go to DEF CON. I remember when I first went to my first DEF CON, which was DEF CON 11, I hadn't really hung out in the scene much, and it was just so weird to you know, talk to everybody and say, so you're weirdo dude and you're fractal boy. Okay, hi.
Yeah, definitely.
Dude, like my IRC is just freaking out right now.
Yeah, I can see you bouncing in and out of the channel.
Yeah, and it's like connected twice and it's failing out one thing and doing the other. Yeah, but I fully agree with that. It's actually kind of weird calling people by their real names for me. It's...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know your real name, but I always call you Strom.
Yeah, and I always call you Ratchet.
Mm-hmm.
Except when I slip up and...
Slip up in front of, like, the entire presentation
yeah.
group.
I wonder... Oh, God, that was embarrassing. But it was
funny.
I gotta
say, it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
The only thing I really had was I was kind of disappointed that I brought an AS400 with me for people to play on, and... I set up a little table for selling DVDs of our show, The Pack of Sniffers, and T-shirts and stuff, and set up an AS400 for people to play on and had commands and a couple terminals and stuff, but only four people even sat down and tried to log in. I even gave them the account Freaknik and a password and stuff and a bunch of commands. So.
Shame on them.
But I did give out two DVDs to folks because one guy, he was able to change the password and change the profile handle, so... or the profile description. So that was something anyway. I was just glad they sat down and tried it and had some fun. And brought back, you know, a lot of people, some people would stop by and just talk about memories of working on as an operator on an AS400 and stuff. So it was enjoyable.
And I mean, it's always kind of disappointing when people, you set up a computer for people and they don't use it. I mean, come on, people, you're hackers. You
yeah.
need to do this.
Exactly.
It's one of those things.
Yeah. But, oh well. Yeah, I raffled off a Toshiba T1000 8088 laptop.
Oh, and, nice.
DOS 2.11 in ROM.
Ooh,
and
that's
the other.
That stuff.
The other or raffle prize was a Token Ring Fun Pack, as I called it. And they port MAL about 9 or 10 adapter cards for any platform you could ever want to connect, cables, an IBM Token Ring testing kit, everything you needed to get in with that. So the same guy ended up winning both prizes, and he was like the very last person to buy tickets.
Oh my God!
I was looking at something, and it was like a SourceForge project, and the guy was talking about you can get these touchscreen like consoles for like $15, and they're like 486, and they're just monochrome, and the way you network them is either by serial or Token Ring. And I was like, oh man, Token Ring. Because I actually am one of the few people who used Token Ring in my lifetime. I personally converted a network from Token Ring to Ethernet, and I never want to ever do that again.
This reminds me, for some reason, of the story about the time someone convinced people at the office that the reason the network was failing was because the token kept falling out of the Token Ring.
That joke has so old it has dust on it.
Yes, but no one has told the joke in like 5 years, so.
Cool. Yeah, true.
There's actually a question for you, DOS Man, in the channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Lin wants to know when the new packet sniffers will come out.
Oh, that's a very good question. Well, I really wish I could say it would be soon. But due to circumstances outside of my control, it may be after Christmas or late January. Zach's got a lot of stuff going on in his life, and he's basically rearranged a lot of stuff and just doesn't have time for the time being. I am working on some other projects, though. We've got I guess I'll let a little bit of the cat out of the bag as far as we've got a spoof that we're working on, and I won't name names or anything, but it's hopefully will be enjoyable. We're gonna maybe get that out before Christmas. I don't know, but we're still working on stuff, and it's just unfortunately it's just so time consuming doing doing the show. I can't say that I would expect it to be out before January. But thanks for asking. I really appreciate that.
Well, you do have a dedicated fan base, and I am one of them.
Well, thank you. It's always great to hear that. And I really appreciate the work you guys do on BinRev. I've been trying to listen more and more of the radio show. I've listened to a lot of them when Stank Dog was hosting. And it's just a really, really good program. Nice technical discussions to listen to when I'm at work and stuff, so... It's really cool.
Okay.
Take the dick out of your mouth. Maybe that'll help.
Yeah, getting the show live was actually kind of more of a pain in the ass than I thought it would be.
Well, that's usually how things work. Something
of course, it's computers. Computers make everything difficult.
Yeah.
So, do we have another caller in the queue, or
doesn't look like it?
Doesn't look like it.
Yeah, there's
not nothing personal there, DOS Man, but
no problem.
So yeah,
I want to make sure that we're getting to everybody who wants to get in.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
because it is starting to get about that time. We only have about 20 minutes left in the show.
Yeah, so if you want to ask us a question, call in on the very first live BinRev radio. Give us a call. The number again, in case you don't have it, 800-732-0442. Or if you're calling from outside the U.S., area code 213-415-1047, and, of course, prefix that with however you have to dial to the United States.
That'd be cool if we got an international caller. Of course, the problem with this is I was talking to, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Ali, A-A-L-I.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Britain, and he was complaining that the fact that we're on Eastern time and we stream from 9:30 or so, that's like 3 a.m. in Britain, or sorry, 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I could see that being a problem.
We could theoretically, stream to somebody in Australia or get a call from Australia or Hong Kong or something.
True. We had someone from Taiwan, so maybe they're listening live.
Yeah.
I doubt it, but you never know.
Well, the thing I really love about Indiana is right now it's your show started at 8:30 my time, but if it had been earlier in the summer, it would have actually been 9:30 because Indiana doesn't go on daylight savings time.
Yes,
right now.
Yes, no, it doesn't because you're weird. Isn't that just Eastern Indiana?
It's all of Indiana. There are a few counties in the south and the north, actually. And actually, they've just, state legislature decided that we are going to observe daylight savings time now. Now they're just deciding which one we're going to observe or which one we're going to standardize.
Plus, next year, next year, 2008, I forget, we're going to expand daylight savings. Oh, boy.
Well, I think that's the way to go, really. But us, Arizona, Hawaii, and Alaska, we've got it right.
No, I really like daylight time. It makes the afternoons longer, and I like the afternoons.
See, my problem with expanding daylight savings time is that now daylight savings is going to be longer than standard. So doesn't that make daylight standard now?
The thing I always find amusing, actually, and is the fact that people don't seem to know the difference between daylight time and standard time when they're writing out times. Like, I'll see something that happens during the summer written out as, come join us at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I'm like, it's during the summer, you're on daylight time, why are you giving the standard time?
No, let's see, just sort of bypass that and write ET. There we go, we're all set.
Yeah, Eastern Time, yeah. Eastern Standard Time is not the time zone, it's the offset from GMT.
It's -5, there we go.
Yes, and Eastern Daylight Time is just a different offset, so all you're doing is changing the offset, you're not changing the name of the time zone, or the time you're in. If you give something an Eastern Standard Time, different offset from Eastern Daylight Time, so be careful when using EST and EDT, and the same goes for the rest of the time zones. And I think that concludes my EDT rant.
Dude, we should just use all UTC and just go like that.
Yeah, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Just one
make
time.
Make it so much easier.
Yeah, abstraction. I mean, just...
That'd actually be cool, because I'd probably get up at a decent hour.
Yeah, exactly. It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon morning. Or...
Yeah, I'm always late to work anyway, so it doesn't really
matter.
Okay, I'm going to have to kick Cheddar out of the channel. He's knocking Oregon Trail. That's punishable by death.
Oh my God! No, Oregon Trail was awesome. I mean, especially on Apple II.
that shit was wheat.
Yeah.
Write your own tombstone. God, you can put all kinds of crazy words on there. Here lies ass fucker. I never actually did that, but I enjoyed the fact that I could.
Here lies cat sex. Although that would be a bit
exactly,
of an acronym.
Exactly, you can have that. All right, do we have anyone in the queue?
No, sadly, there is nobody in the queue right now. Call in, everybody.
Stuck with me.
We've got 30... how many live listeners do we have now? 31 live listeners.
Oh, you can actually tell that. I never actually figured out how to figure that.
Well, no, GDB Hack Radio, on the page, there's a little now playing thing, and apparently I didn't set the
ID3
tags correctly, because it says now playing blank, 31 listeners.
Oh, 31 listeners. I feel touched.
Yeah, I feel really touched.
People within the sound of my voice, give a call right in.
Yes.
Give out the numbers just again. You know,
again, get your pencil out, get your pen out, get whatever writing implement you have out. If you've got to get out a quill and an inkwell, do that. The number, for those of you calling from within the U.S., and I think it might actually work from Canada too, is 800-732-0442. And if you're calling from outside the U.S., figure out what the dialing code is for the U.S., and then the number is area code 213-415-1047. We need something cool. Like, we need, to, like, 1-800-5-BIN-REV or something. That would be a sweet number.
Oh, feel free to get it. Just, I really don't feel like paying for that.
Yeah. Are you, Dossman, are you calling in the 800 number or the 213 number?
800 number.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, our 800 number is Astralink, so it seems they've fixed their jitter problems.
Oh, yes. Good.
Oh, actually, I'd just like to bring this out in the show. I was shocked to find out that Asterisk has forked.
Yeah, asterisk has forked. There's now something called OpenPBX,
which is a more GPL-y asterisk, and I am running into a corundum of figuring out which version I should run.
I know if I run OpenPBX, I'm sure Mark Spencer will personally kill me to death.
True, but so, I don't know Mark Spencer, so.
Yeah, but I do, so I think I've got to maintain the friendship by running his software.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing, and to be completely honest with you, I don't completely disagree with OpenPBX's problems.
Mm-hmm.
But that is. Oh, since apparently they've released this and you can talk about it now, because I didn't even know about this. Tell us what's up with the whole 24 port.
Oh yeah, yeah. Months and months ago, I was told to keep the secret and not tell a soul. And finally, it's come out. It's the Digium TDM 2400P, which is a 24 port analog line card, and you can put on quad port modules, so either FXS or FXO. So you can have 24 dial tones coming off of the thing.
Yeah,
a one PCI card.
How much is it going to cost, do you know?
I think Mark said sub $2,000.
Sub $2,000. Yeah,
which, I mean...
Tell me when it reaches about $200.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you consider the fact that it's that, you know, you're going to end up paying about $100 each for each dial tone, regardless of what you buy. I mean, if you buy...
It's freaking expensive, though.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you buy, like, some of the SIP adapters, you pay, like, maybe $40 a dial tone, but those are SIP adapters. Those aren't actually...
And they don't support rotary dial. What's the point of that?
Tom claims he's speaking of forks. Tom claims he's going to fork Binrev Radio with his Ratchet and Strom soundboard.
I actually do have part of the Stang soundboard someone sent me. I don't even know which one sent me this. Was the Black Ratchet soundboard.
Letter number two.
which is really creepy when you listen to. Listen to yourself talk.
Yeah. Well, no, what was really creepy was when I was setting up DEFCON by phone, the creepy bit was getting phone calls from myself. I mean, I knew they were coming, but they were still creepy to get a phone call and hear a recording of me on the other end.
Hello, this is the DEFCON by phone.
This is the DEFCON by phone interactive schedule, calling to remind you that the talk you wanted to see, CatSex, starting at 2:15.
You say CatSex far too often.
Yes, I do, but it's a better meta word than just foo.
Foo is just so much better.
Yeah.
Speaking
foo
of
the show.
Asterix,
mm-hmm.
There was a couple of guys from Digium, Freak Nick, giving out free swag and stuff.
Oh, sweet.
One guy, let's see, his name was Matt. I don't want to say his last name because I don't know. He gave me his business card, but I gave out Droops and myself, maybe some other people, this... what is this, VoIP adapter, S101i?
An EXE?
Yeah.
They gave you an EXE?
Yeah. So I haven't had a chance to play with that yet, but I'll be honest, I'm not all that hip on the VoIP stuff. I don't actually have a subscription.
Please send it to me.
Services,
yes.
we'll figure out something to do with it here.
Seriously, I'm not saying you. I'll send you a check tonight for $50 if you mail it to me.
Wow.
$50 plus shipping.
That was really cool of them to hang out at my booth for a while and just hang and give out some free swag like that. So
I didn't even get one of those, and I pimped them up like no tomorrow at DEF CON. I mean, what the hell?
Insane. I'm still in shock.
Yeah,
okay,
Josh.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just hanging out with Matt at our booth, and then later on caught him on Sunday as we were leaving. And I was actually getting into my truck, and he came running across the parking lot and was like, "Here, take one of these." So.
Damn, I want one of them. Jeez. All right, Dossman, I think we're gonna bid you farewell because it's about time to wrap up the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, we're an hour and 21 minutes in.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for hanging out with us. I mean, just sort of faded out toward the end, and we just sort of gasped. But hey, that's been Rev Radio. That's live radio for you because no one else called the hell in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you actually have anyone else in the queue?
No, there's no one in the queue.
All right, so call-in is over now. Sorry.
Yeah, tune in next week and get your questions ready.
Well, we may not be doing it live next week. You know.
Oh, you were not out. Damn it.
there will be another live show coming up. Don't just more of a question of when. We will actually pimp, now that we know everything works, we're going to pimp this out and figure it all out.
Mm-hmm. So tune in next week. It might be live.
Sweet.
So well, thank you very much. Shout out for anyone, Dossman?
Shout outs to twattech.org with one T in the middle. And shout outs to everyone I met at Freaknik. I won't name names since there's more people than I could name. And my friend and co-host Zach, he's going through some rough times right now. So just know that everyone loves you and will be here for you whenever the light shows up at the end of the tunnel. So
indeed. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Well, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Bye-bye. Looks like we've got one more caller.
All right, go right ahead.
Okay.
You stupid fucking cunt.
Who said that? Who is he? And apparently he's talking to the person despite what I told him not to. Mm-hmm. See, this is the problem. We're going to have to get a third person on here so I can sort of stop the dead air between phone calls. Yep. This is fun. Just sitting here, talking to myself. See, this is why I always got Strom back in the show, is because so I wouldn't just, if I couldn't find someone to talk to, I just wouldn't be like this the entire time. I believe Droops did this with
Infonomicon.
Talk tonight. Yeah.
Actually, considering the length of our closing music, I think we should wrap things up. So that was Blake Ops. He just said hi, so.
All right. Well, hi, Blake Ops. Just call in next time and remember to call in.
Yep.
So, we have a couple of announcements.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we're going to re-announce SpinRev meeting, Southern California in the Victorville, Hesperia, Apple Valley area. Kless plus meeting at gmail.com. Kahless plus symbol meeting at gmail.com.
And then the next announcement, Merck might be setting up the SpinRev meeting in the 301/202 area code. That's for Washington, D.C., 202, and its suburbs in Maryland, 301. Email Merck at twatech.org, that's M-E-R-K, at symbol, T-W-A-T-E-C-H, .org, for more information, or if you want to help with the meeting.
The at symbol. There's at symbols and email addresses now?
Yes. Also called the commercial A or the strudel symbol.
Yeah, whatever. Shouts, who do you have shouts out for?
Shouts out to Mark Spencer, who actually gave me a little help on setting all this stuff up.
Yeah. Did he give you an Ixie?
Not yet.
And he sucks.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mark. We didn't really mean that. Shout out to everyone who called in tonight. Thank you very much for listening.
This turned out to be an awesome experience.
Made the show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And really, we didn't have to do much work. And I'm not sure how this episode's actually going to sound once I put it up, but hey, who cares? It was live. It was our first live episode.
Yeah, a landmark episode in the history of BinRev Radio.
Yes.
As always,
email as always is radio@binrev.com,
and you can leave us voicemail. Actually, we did get a voicemail this week, but I didn't have time to get it ready for the show, so we'll do that next week. But our voicemail line we'll make it the same numbers as our call in line, 800-732-0442 or 213-415-1047 for calls outside the U.S.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, our closing music this week.
BlackRatchet.org.
Org.
I just had to play that.
All right.
Now, I do apologize in advance to Stan, because I'm probably just sitting there going, why the hell is he playing stuff with me in there? Site of the week is by Acidus. It's a new program he released at Freaknik. It's called Tiny Disk, and it's really cool. It's basically a file system or a way to store files within tiny URLs, and it's really neat, and I'm fiddling around with it, and I'm playing around, and I'm trying to figure it out, and trying to do some things onto Windows with it, because it's all in Java, and I hate Java, and Java sucks. And it's www.msblabs.org/tinydisk. And that's Mike Sierra Bravo, Lima, Alpha Bravo Sierra, .org. Tinydisk, D-I-N-Y-D-I-S-K.
Our closing music this week is from Epitonic.com, called Heavenly by Scuba. Nice mellow track. I like it.
Mellow. We're going to leave it out with mellow.
Mellow. Hey, it's been a cool, relaxed episode. Nothing.
Relaxed episode, and let everyone just sort of sit back and relax after an exciting live call-in episode.
So,
as always, we will see you next week, live or not. See you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Bajo la luna, piel suave.